Hello and good evening, everyone. I'm Corina Pereira. Welcome once again to our SGR KF's Knowledge Series. The session of Knowledge Series is organized every month. Irrespective of the pandemic and lockdown, the sessions of Knowledge Series will continue to encourage, motivate, and enhance the energy of the audience of Knowledge Series. Knowledge Series is a point of origin for the Central India's first multilingual literature festival, that is Orange City Literature Festival, OCLF Nagpur. OCLF is now entering into the fourth edition this November 2022 after the success of past three editions of it. Knowledge City session is now a part of Orange City Literature Festival. When the diet is wrong, medicine is of no use. When the diet is right, medicine is not needed. Increasingly sedentary lifestyles and the dominance of processed foods in our diets has led to a spike in a range of diseases in recent times. Our ancestors, however, had a firm understanding of the connection between eating right and staying well. They saw Ayurveda as all that is conducive to long-term health and well-being, a balance between food, body, and mind soul. To help make Ayurveda an integral part of your life, we have today with us Ms. Sonal Chowdhury, who's going to share her experience on the Ayurvedic kitchen, ancient wisdom to balance body, mind, and soul. Ms. Sonal Chowdhury is a holistic nutrition consultant with specialization in weight management, sports, and clinical nutrition. She is a certified Ayurvedic nutrition consultant and a medical yoga therapist. She is also certified holistic cancer coach from the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education, Richborough, PA, US. She is an exercise prescription from the American College of Sports Medicine, approved Exercise Science Academy. She has also authored a book, Traditional Recipes for Pregnancy and Motherhood. We welcome you, ma'am, to our SGR Knowledge Series.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Today, we have a moderator in conversation with Sonal ma'am, Dr. Shakti Sharma. Dr. Shakti Sharma is a doctorate in food and nutrition and has qualified UGC NET. She received her master's degree with a gold medal in food and nutrition from Rani Durgavati University, Jabalpur. She subsequently completed her internship from AIIMS, New Delhi, and Koithiram Hospital, Indore. Dr. Shakti Sharma is an academician and a holistic clinical nutritionist specializing in weight management and sports nutrition for young athletes. She holds a teaching experience for over 12 years in reputed undergraduate and postgraduate institutes of Nagpur. We welcome you, ma'am.
Thank you so much, ma'am, for giving a beautiful introduction. And I welcome Dr. Sonal on today's talk. Shall I take over?
I would now request you, ma'am, to kindly take over the session.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Dr. Sonal, it's really lively to see you today. And I think Ayurveda is based on the concept that every physical creation is made up of five elements known as the Panch Mahabhuta: the air, the water, the fire, earth, and space. And in your book also, you very well talk about that body is a balance of food, mind, even the sleep pattern. But before I start, I want to know, you being a clinical nutritionist, what brought you to this concept of Ayurveda and made you write a book on it?
Yeah, thank you for the question. And so, you know, what Ayurveda, we all believe generally is that it's a medical system. But honestly, Ayurveda is the science of life. So it has two aspects to it. One is the curative aspect, which goes with the disease treatment and medicines and other Shodhan Kriyas and all that it do. And second is the preventive aspect of Ayurveda, which talks about your daily regime, that is called the Dinacharya, or your food habits and the way you should conduct. It also talks about exercise, pranayam, yoga, and as well. So when I was writing my first book, which is the Traditional Recipes for Pregnancy and Motherhood, I realized there was so much Ayurvedic wisdom in the traditional foods that we have been eating. And it really got me interested, you know, like It is something that people should know about. And also in my practice as a nutritionist, people, clients or patients would come and ask me, you know, Sonal, I'm not able to digest salads or some foods which they used to think that they are healthy, you know, and they should be eating that. And they would have get some reactions to the, all those. So it made me think, you know, it's very important that people should know what is good for them and what is not good for them, because there is no blanket approach to anything. Like even if food, one food may be good for the one person and the other food may not suit the same food might not suit the other person. And this is where Ayurveda talks about personalized nutrition. And that is how, you know, I came to write about this book. The same thing which you told about, like Ayurveda talks about this Panch Mahabhutas. So accordingly, these Panch Mahabhutas, which are the five elements, they combine in certain permutations and combinations and form the three doshas, which are the Vata, Pitta and Kapha. So you, if you eat according to your dosha, that is your prakriti, and which is formed when you are during your birth only, and it stays with you throughout your life. So if you eat according to your prakriti or the dosha, then you are in balance and homeostasis and you will be disease free. So that is why this book was written, so that people can understand Ayurveda in a very simplified way and incorporate the principles of Ayurveda in their daily living and attain optimum health.
Yeah, it's very well said, Dr. Sonal, that we are made up of the element, and when we are made up of the air, water, soil, and the composition is affecting my dosha, I have to eat in balance with that. I think we are moving towards the ancient history and we're talking about the sleep pattern now and why everyone is not suited with the raw fruits. Somebody needs cooked food only. Definitely, exactly. We'll talk more on this. But Dr. Sonal, my second question is, do you think the concept of the clinical dietetics or the scientific knowledge differs from the Ayurvedic concept of nutrition?
See, I would not
forget everything and then something, or there is a balance over there.
No. So, see, every system of medicine or knowledge, you will say, has some pros and cons to it. So it has to be integrative. That has been my approach. So there is, you know, there you need to understand, like when we talk about clinical nutrition and medicine, what they talk about in that is about carb. They look food in from the point of view of carbohydrates, proteins and fats. But Ayurveda looks at food from the point of three gunas. That is the sattvic, rajasic and tamasic.
Right.
And how these gunas have affect your mental state. So now we are talking in medical science about gut-brain axis. But Ayurveda has been talking about it since, you know, long time back. So whatever you're eating has an impact on your mental state also. So if you're eating light foods like fresh food, fruits and vegetables, you're more energetic, you're much more calmer. And if you're eating stimulating foods like tea, coffee or heavy rich food, then the rajasic gun comes. So those are the rajasic foods which will make you feel hyperactive or restless and insomnia or all those kind of issues. And if you eat stale food or with a lot of preservatives, processed foods, alcohol, those will have tamaguna, which will make you lethargic and lazy and a lot of sleep during the day and all that. So the kind of food you eat also has an impact on your mental as well as your physical state. So this is one thing which Ayurveda like really talks about when it talks about food. It doesn't look food as carbohydrates, proteins and fats or the macro or the micronutrients. Secondly, Ayurveda also talks like every individual has to eat according to their constitution, like how we just talked about the prakriti, the dosha. So it doesn't look, there's no fixed rule that this many grams of protein the person should have. So if you are a Vata type, maybe you need those many, like nutrition side would say you need these many grams, but the person is not able to digest. So you just can't give them. So you have to look at in a different way, how, what kind of foods you can give to that kind of, to that person with a certain constitution or a dosha, and then balance their meals. And there's something, some overlapping similarities also, like Ayurveda talks about mindful eating, which even nutrition science talks about, to eat mindfully, chew the food properly, and about portion control, like eat in proper portions, not overdo or overeat. So it's a mix actually of both. Like, you know, there are some similarities which we can take and there are some new it's concept. Approach is different. Yeah, the approach is different to food.
Definitely.
So that is how it is. So you don't have to leave anything. You have to encompass all, you know, you have to be integrative about your approach when you look at food.
Yeah, Dr. Sonal, you have actually opened a Pandorama. You know what happens? We had all these things earlier also in our diet. We had the achars were there. We had the fermented kanji. Even the oil that we were using earlier, we moved from the good quality fat to the plant-based fat. And now we're moving back to that. So I don't think it is something new for us. It is just to reinculcate those habits in our diet. Like waking up early in the morning is very important habit. For that, you have to sleep early. So I think it is just that we are going back. And maybe I think we should thank the rise in the diseases, which has brought us to the light that we have to think back where we are going wrong.
Yes.
Another thing, Sonal, I want to ask from your book. When I read, I came to know that I am of the kapha vata prakriti person. So I just want to tell, if you can tell your individuals how they can identify ki which prakriti does their body belongs to.
Okay, so there's a dosha quiz in the book, which has, you know, and if you take the, it's a very simple to do quiz. So you just give marks and you can relate to it also. So I'm sure when you took the quiz, you can, oh yeah, this trait belongs to me. This is how I am. So, you know, Ayurveda has divided, like, so suppose if somebody is Vata person, they'll be generally thin, you know, and there'll be a lot of dryness in the system and their digestion will be very erratic. Sometimes they'll be very good at, you know, they'll feel very hungry and sometimes they wouldn't want to eat. So, and also their mental state, they'll start some work sometimes and then all of a sudden they'll just give it up. So every, like this for Pittas, they are very good metabolizers, like they can digest anything. So, and Kapha, like again, they are very slow. We call that, you know, they're slow metabolizers. So they eat very less or they're, and obesity is like a kapha person. So you can actually take this quiz and you can know like what is your prakriti and then you can tweak your diet accordingly. So it is pretty easy. It's a simple quiz. You just have to give points to the questions that are there and the total which comes will tell you exactly what kind of, if suppose you are a vata and kapha, so we, the dominant one, what was the dominant one for you? Was it the kapha or the vata?
Kapha.
So you are the kapha person then with vata quality. So the dominant one is the main quality of the,
and it also says with the changing weather, the properties change. Like if it is winters, then the kapha would be dominant, but if it is summer, the vata will be dominant.
Yes.
So I think this is a new concept for the listeners right now. If I come to know that my body property is like this, so how can I manage my diet related to that? What simple tricks you can tell that?
Yeah, so like if suppose in winters, again, all these prakritis are based on the seasons also. So in winters is the kapha, which is the highest. But when spring comes, then kapha becomes like, it's a prakopa we say, that the kapha becomes very aggravated. And that is why all these diseases of cold, cough, you know, in spring, like all these kind of sinus problems and all erupt, you know, and then we have to give the children. So we have to eat foods which will dampen the kapha, I mean, which will balance the kapha. So again, there's a concept of rasa in Ayurveda, which talks about taste. So there are six tastes basically, sweet, salty, sour, spicy, bitter, and astringent. So when the kapha is aggravated, then we need to eat bitter, pungent and astringent foods which will balance the kapha. So light, drying, warming foods will balance the kapha in the spring season. So if you know like what is your what is the season, and then if you are a kapha person, you know that in spring it's going to be aggravated for me because generally your innate system is also kapha. So you need to, for keeping it balanced, you'll have to include these kind of foods in your diet. Very light meat. So that is why when we say this neem was given, you know, spring season for detoxification. Why? So that bitter neem would, and it's drying as well. So that would release all the toxins out of the system. All the kapha that has been accumulated in the winters will come out of the system. So that is how you'll eat. Like for every season, there is a different regime that needs to be followed. And if you know about your dosha type, then it becomes easier for you to understand. And that's what the book talks about.
the book really talks very well about it, and I think you have talked about the different taste also. What is the importance of the salty taste, the pungent taste? And since we are just talking, people will say I'm really biased. I talked about my prakriti. I'll just request you to give a little bit of about the vat and pit prakriti also.
So vata person needs this air and space element. It can consist of, so they need to eat sweet, sour and salty foods. So when I say salty, sweet, sour, salty taste food, sweet doesn't mean sugar. You start eating sugar, not the processed sugar, and foods that are so sweet, salty and sour, that will balance the vata in the person. And even if you see, you know, like for the pitta person, they are very prone to acidity and all that. So if they eat spicy foods, they'll say we can't tolerate, you know, spicy, or we can't tolerate if we eat a lot of sour foods, we get very acidic. So if you know that you're a pitta person, then you will avoid, you'll eat sweet, bitter and astringent foods. So that is how it helps you, you know, because some people would say, you know, lemon is very alkalizing for me, so I don't get acidic. So, but maybe that person is not a pitta person, so they are able to, yeah. So if you know what is your dosha type, you can, you know, tweak your diet, you can manage your food eating patterns and habits accordingly, and you know exactly, okay, this is not going to work for me, this is going to work for me. So that is the beauty of it, you know.
Absolutely. Dr. Sunil, another very important question is that in all the religions, we give a lot of emphasis to fasting. And I don't know if people are doing fasting in the right way or not, because to people around me, fasting means feasting. Instead of not eating a regular food, we eat a lot of fasting food. So what is the Ayurvedic correct concept of doing a fasting?
Yeah, you know, fasting, Ayurveda is totally pro-fasting and really believes that it is very important. It acts like, you know, it reduces oxidative stress in the body also. It helps with insulin resistance also. So, and it helps in detoxification process of your body and get you disease free. But like my co-author, Dr. Ashika, he will tell, you know, if suppose a car, you need the fuel to run the car. But if you keep loading it, you keep making it, you keep filling the fuel over and over again, what is going to happen? The engine is going to go get stopped. So that is why our digestive system, because we have so much availability of food these days, you know, every day, even if you're not hungry, we're eating. We think, okay, it's time for lunch. Let's have our lunch. It's time for snacks. We might not be hungry. So Ayurveda really tells, you know, eat only when hungry. So it is very important that the digestive rest you give to your body. And Ayurveda tells that spring and autumn is the best time when you should fast. And again here, you should fast according to your prakriti. So a vata person, and it says one more thing, very important point, which says it doesn't say about, you know, not complete abstinence of food or water. Ayurveda doesn't really, you know, promote that. So it says you can have fast on fruits or juices and all those kind of vegetables and all those kind of water maybe. So and if you have to fast according to your dosha again. So if you're doing an intermittent fasting, so if you're a vata person, you should not, your eating window should not be like 4 hours, 6 hours, which people do. Then it will create problems in your, it will dampen your digestive fire actually. So it is not a good thing. But if you're a kapha person, like for you, you can obviously keep your eating window little less. So like around 4 to 6 hours. And have you tried intermittent fasting? Then maybe you
would know. I've tried fasting actually. I really feel very good if there is a change in season. I always do a fasting. Whenever there is a weather change, so I feel fasting always gives me more energy. Yes. People feel fasting will make you weaker. I think it makes you feel fresh, the skin glows. And I tell you, Sonal, I make people do Karva Chauth ka fast by saying it is a detox process.
Detox process.
17 hours fasting and your skin will glow. And it does work.
Yes. So you have to be, and the feasting part when they do in the Karva Chauth, that is the worst they can do. You know, all that, they'll eat everything. So feasting is definitely contraindicated before and after, immediately before and after a fast. So you should take very light meals so that your system actually cleanses itself from all the toxins and all. So, and fasting is not allowed for like pregnant or weak or aged people. So you know, again, it should not be like, you know, again, fasting, everybody should do. So people should think logically, you know, somebody who's really diseased or something, if they fast, then they'll fall sick more.
Yeah. So basically, when I am on fast, I should focus more on foods which are healing foods for me.
Yes.
I should eat more of colored vegetables and fruits, which can help clean my body. Mm-hmm. Other than loading up my body with a lot of fat or maybe a sambar, what is that? Sabudana vada.
Yes.
It's a load on my body.
Yes. So very light meals, easily digestible meals. And if you eat heavy meals, then again, your digestion system have to process all that. It has to do all that mehnat.
Absolutely. Again. So Dr. Sonal, I'll ask another question to you. And that is, since last 2 years, we've been seeing this, ki the immunity system has not been blamed only on few factors. It is like the proper sleep pattern, the diet, the physical activity we do nowadays. So what is your mantra of boosting your immunity?
So this pandemic has made us realize that how important is our immunity. And Ayurveda talks about immunity, about the three types of immunity it talks about. One is the Sahaja, which is our innate immune system. Then the other one is the Kalaja, so which means according to your age, environment and season, how your immunity is going to be. And the other one is the Yuktikrit, which is the acquired or the intellect, immunity related to intellect. How, what is your lifestyle, which will determine the kind of immunity you're going to have. So, you know, having a proper lifestyle, is a lifestyle which is conducive to good health, is very, very important. And I would suggest, like, to my patient client, that you start your day with a herbal immunity tea drink made of like a simple herb like tulsi, ginger, and not overdo on those kadhas and all, which, you know, available in the market, and they end up getting ulcers or some other kind of issues and all. So don't overdo. Just start with a simple homemade, you know, herbal concoction, and take proper rest at night. Sleep is again very important, where all our recovery takes place. And in Ayurveda, there's a concept of like doing nasyam. So we know that, you know, even the swabs that are taken are from the nasal and the oral cavity. So if you put oil in your nasal cavity every day and do oil pulling, in fact your ears also, just rub a little bit oil in that. So it creates a barrier to that mucous membrane and it protects you to some extent, but you have to do it continuously and regularly. So this nasyam, this oil pulling, these are very very indicated in Ayurveda for immunity. And if suppose you already catch a cold or something, you need to gargle and all, adding a pinch of trifla to the warm water and gargling also soothes your throat, and taking steam with eucalyptus oil or mint leaves in it. So these things you can do to protect yourself or cure yourself with slight symptoms as well. And obviously eating according to your dosha. There's another very important point in Ayurveda, which they talk about, is the pranayam. You know, doing Bhramari is very important to improve your immunity, because when we do Bhramari, the nitric oxide, you know, like dilates all the blood vessels and all, and it is very important that everybody should do Bhramari pranayam, some, and relaxation techniques if they can do, like a diaphragmatic breathing or a nulomula. But Bhramari is the number one, which I suggest to all people, you know, you should, to improve your immunity, you should do Bhramari, because
the section of pranayam is very important. Just a 5 minutes, and you do those 3-4 exercises.
Yes, yes.
It gets you rid of all the carbon dioxide, the toxins in your body. Amazing. I would really come to that question now. Ki, how you think the readers can make the best use of your book? Because you're talking about everything which is there in my kitchen. There's nothing to buy from out. The tulsi is there. The dalchini is there. Everything is there. So how do you think the authors can make, like the readers can make the best use of your book?
So first of all, this book, it has a quiz which says about dosha. So first get your, know what your dosha type is. And then the recipes that are mentioned are again very clear, which tells you whether this recipe is going to increase your, which dosha it's going to increase or which dosha it's going to calm. So if you feel that, you know, you're a Vata person, so you should include those doshas, those recipes you can have which are three dosha. That means it balances all the doshas. Or you can include foods that are Vata mitigating. So you then you will feel better. You'll feel the body itself will give you the cue. Okay, this food is working for me. And then there is a section about oils and spices, which are good for each dosha type, and how you know the fasting and very simplified way in which Ayurveda has been explained in this book, so a person can understand Ayurveda and use the you know the nitbits and little bit of about Ayurvedic principles, what how to eat, when to eat, and what to eat. So this is what this book is going to do and help them in adopting a Ayurvedic lifestyle, you know, and for good health.
Yeah, I recommend everyone to please do read this book. It's full of knowledge. And if going a little deeper, as you said, ki one food may suit somebody and the other food may not suit the other person. Mm. That is when we talk about the digestive fire. The Jathad Agni hai, that is different for different persons. So what is this digestive fire and how does it affect digestion? If we can tell to the viewers today.
Yeah. So Ayurveda talks about this concept of Agni, which is the digestive fire, and it gives utmost importance to it. So in Ayurveda, you are not what just you what you eat, you know. Ayurveda is what you digest and food, you know, you are what you digest and what you assimilate. So even if you're having like 90 grams of protein and you're not able to assimilate it in your system, you're not going to get any proteins or any muscles in your system, right? So and all that depends on the on your digestive fire. So if you have a good like pitta people generally when they are good fat they are good metabolizers because their digestive agni is good, so they get away with eating a lot of things, you know. But a vata person, they'll have again like how I told, like they have very erratic digestive system. So sometimes they are able to digest and sometimes they are not able to digest food properly. So including those herbs and spices to balance your agni is very important. Like first rule that I would suggest is never drink water immediately after food, because like how we say nutrition science, you know, the digestive enzymes will be diluted. In the same way Ayurveda says that your agni will be dampened. So avoid drinking water immediately after food. You can have sips of water during food, that is okay, but not like a glass, two glasses of water again. And secondly, including like there's a recipe in my book which talks about the digestive aid. So it has all the six rasas in it. Either you can make that and have it every day again, or if that is too much of a you know preparation for you, then at least have a piece of ginger before your meals. Again, that will stimulate your digestive fire again. So that is one thing you can do. And also like buttermilk is again very good for all the three doshas. It helps to stimulate the agni in the system, and eating mindfully and you know all in a calm environment, chewing your food properly, because the body needs to get that signal that food is coming. The way we eat very fast while reading or you know always in front of the gadgets and watching TV or mobile and eating and all, so these all things actually, these lifestyle habits actually have an effect on our agni and the digestive fire. So you need to be in balance, you need to adopt these, make these kind of changes in your eating food habits, and then you attain balance of both body mind.
Yeah, the balance has to be there. I've read somewhere that you should chew your food to make it liquid. You should actually chew your food with the hypothalamus comes to know that you are eating something.
Eat something.
Eat in a gobble, then after some time, you don't have the satiety value coming up because I've eaten something. And I think even stress plays an important role in this. Yes. In your book, you also talk about nidra. So what is the role of nidra in immunity and in good health?
So this is where nutrition science and Ayurveda again overlaps. So sleep is very important for the recovery of the body, and it says that when you see, but you know, I somewhere feel that it is asking everybody. Everybody has a different lifestyle today. You know, some people need to work in the evening, some people who are in the media and all. So asking them, like you just sleep, it is not practically possible. So, but one thing it can be done is like whenever you're having that, whenever you're sleeping, that sleep should be deep and restful. So that is very important, and all the detoxification of the body happens during our sleep. So waking up time is very important according to Ayurveda. So you should wake up before 6 o'clock because that is the vata time, and all the that churning and whatever the body has done, the cleansing it has done, it now has to eliminate from the system. So if you wake up that time, so it gets, and if you must have also noticed, you know, many people, when we have a good restful sleep, our elimination is much more better than what it is generally. And if you, yeah, and if you don't sleep well, then the elimination doesn't happen properly. So that is why, and also if you notice one thing, if you wake up before 6 o'clock and you drink some little bit of water and hydrate yourself again, because with whole night your body gets dehydrated, and you will again notice that your elimination is much, bowel movements are much more better. So that is where the timing is very important of what time you wake up. Like if you wake up, you should generally wake up before 6 o'clock. And for students, they say you should wake up at Brahma Mudrat. And, you know, then your mind is very active and you, that's, and then you can grasp more things. But yeah, so 7 to 8 hours of sleep thing is important. Many people, they do, okay, we'll sleep at 2 o'clock and then we'll cover up. So that is not the right way, because every, the circadian rhythm of the body should be followed, you know, to attain homeostasis.
Absolutely. Because people feel that sleeping for 10 hours is what is required, but yeah, it is very important that few important hormones are secreted during the time of 10 to 12 night. So if ideally we talk about sleeping, we should sleep between 10 and 11, which people laugh at and say, man, itni jaldi. Get up early in the morning, you have all the time to do all your work. Sunil, in your book also you talk about how we should drink water. I think somewhere I read that aapko khade hoke pani nahi peena chahiye. Some type of person. What is the reason behind that?
So it increases vata in the system if you stand up and drink. So that is why vata, again, like then it leads to a lot of vata diseases like pain and all and swelling and all. So you should sit and drink. That is the reason Ayurveda says that it increases vata in the system. And you don't want the vata to be increased, because if there's an imbalance, because vata in all the three doshas, vata is the leader. So it, if it is, because everything, circulation, vata is air, it's movement, air in space. So the circulation of the system gets affected. So you have to be careful. If suppose vata and pitta both are disturbed, you'll first take care of the vata disease. Right. So that is how it works. So drinking water while you're standing increases vata in the system. So it should be avoided. And then obviously you should not drink water immediately, like after your food. And then warm water. Warm water is easier to digest according to Ayurveda. So you should opt for drinking warm water if that is possible. You know, like in summers, people just take out water from the refrigerator. They want something cold. But it actually, Ayurveda says, it increases pitta in the system. Right. So you should not drink cold, very chilled water. So that should be, that is contraindicated in Ayurveda. So drinking warm water is very much prescribed. And it is suggested that you should drink. And then according to seasons, you should boil water till half and all, which I think I've written in my book, but I think not many people would want to do it. Like, so, but if you are in a, if you're not well or you're sick, then definitely you should do that, because then the body is able to easily, because water also needs digestion. It needs to be digested in the system. So hydration becomes very important. So you should boil water till half and then drink if you're not keeping well and all that. But if you, so that is why it was mentioned in the book. But in daily ways, daily, I don't think people will do it. But at least they can do this, that drink warm water and not drink water immediately after food, which is, and not drink water while standing. That much they can do.
I think, Sunil, whatever you have written in your book, it is all backed up with proper research. Because Ayurveda is an ancient history which it has. So it is all proven facts that we should follow the principles of life and we should go in harmony with nature. Which nature has told us time and time again that if you're not in my harmony, then I will make you come in harmony with me. We can go against nature ever possible. Some of the few recipes which you have given in your book, and you really want people to, this is the best recipe. Can you recommend some?
Best recipe, all my recipes. I love them. That is why I put them. Okay. But there are a lot of 22, like of the 77, 80 recipes that are there. There are 20 to 25, I think, are, which are three doshas, which all the doshas can have. And if you have like, so salads, like the, if suppose somebody is like anemic or their hemoglobin is low, so there's a recipe like pomegranates and basil salad or a bajra soup, it can really help them, you know. bring up their iron levels. And then my favorite, I can say, it's God's gruel, because I have a so I have a sweet tooth, and I'm also a Vata person, so I think I can have that, though it's a tridoshik. So okay. God's gruel, I think, would be my favorite recipe, if you have to ask me.
Sonal, just a message for the young students who are watching this session, because we have so many college and school going students who are always with the gadgets around them and a lot of processed foods, which they maybe peer pressure, they are forced to have that. So what mantra will you give to them, ki why they should start focusing now on their good health and how they can align with the nature?
Yeah. So actually, now I feel the youngsters are getting little aware of their, you know, and the foods they're eating, because I have a lot of young clients and all the ones who are you students and all who tell me, you know, we want to leave. So they don't want to give away with their meeting their friends eating out. So I tell them it's okay, you know, but eating mindfully, making the right choices, even if you're out, look for grilled, poached, steamed, instead of, you know, anything coming out of the packet, which is stale. The stale food is something that is, you know, causing most of the hormonal imbalances that they're experiencing. So, and being active, keeping a Jathar Agni, if you keep that digestive fire good in your system, you'll be able to get away with everything. So, you know, keeping yourself active the whole day, not being sedentary, and if you eat out, eat in balance and eat according to your dosha, your prakriti constitution, and listen to the cues that your body is given. Because whenever you eat your food, the body will immediately tell you how it makes you feel. So you don't have to ask, you don't need a nutritionist to tell you, you know, this food will make you feel good or bad. Your body itself will tell you. So listen to your body cues, be aware of your environment and of your own self, and take care.
So I think we're running short of time, but my last question would definitely be, what is your take on the oil or fat we should consume? According to Ayurveda, we focus a lot about on fats like ghee. So what is the recommendation for that?
Yeah, so for oil, like ghee is like considered like a medicine in Ayurveda. It's a carrier for a lot of medicines also, which are given to the patients and all. But for daily cooking, like if you're a Vata person, ghee is definitely indicated. You can have it. And for Pitta also, ghee is okay. But for a Kapha person, ghee is not indicated. And but again, you know, everything in moderation is okay. You know, if you can, so it's not like a thumb rule. Like you have to eat for your mind also sometimes, you know, you want to have something in ghee. So you can't always be paranoid about, okay, I'm a Vata person, I'm a Kapha person, I cannot touch ghee. It's not like that. So in small quantities, it acts like medicine, but you need to control. So for Vata person, you need calming oils. So like ghee, coconut oil, olive oil, and even coconut oil they can have, and sesame oil a Vata person can have. For a Pitta person, you need cooling oils, like, you know, coconut oil. Again, they can have ghee. And a Kapha person, they will need this burning oils, like mustard oil.
Yeah, mustard oil.
So yeah, so that is
increase
best for
the energy them,
and increase the energy. So that is how you can, you know, make choices according early to for the oils and all, according to your constitution. So everything boils down to your constitution. Prakriti and dosha.
And it has to be choices. A balance.
Yeah. So sesame oil, basically, all the three.
Cooling oil.
Okay.
So it was a wonderful talking to you, Dr. Sonal. And I would end my talk with your own line, which says, food is the ultimate drug. Thank you very much for being with us today. And over to the moderator.
Yeah. Thank you. It was really nice talking to you as well.
Thank you so much.
Really, ma'am, it was really a wonderful session. I think all the viewers must have got all the answers related to it. Really, even I enjoyed and I got to learn many things, which I didn't know. Anyway, before I conclude, I would like to express my gratitude to Ms. Sonal Chaudhary, ma'am, and Dr. Shakti Sharma, ma'am, for their informative discussion and for sharing their vast knowledge and expertise and for giving their time to the SGR Knowledge Foundation Knowledge Series. I would like to thank Mr. Sunil Raisuni, Chairman of the Raisuni Group of Institutions, for providing this opportunity, as well as Westland Publication for the support of this session. Thank you to everybody for attending this session. This session will be there on our OCLF, that is Orange City Literature Fest, Nagpur YouTube channel and SGR Knowledge Foundation Facebook page. We will be coming up with more sessions. Till then, stay tuned with us and please do subscribe our SGR Knowledge Series Foundation Facebook page and OCLF YouTube channel. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.